She's the talk of the town. You wanna be around to hear what Marge will say. What's going on in our hometown? What's the buzz today? She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give Marge a cheer. Marge Hazelnut. She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give her a cheer. Marge Hazelnut.
And good morning. It's a Getaway Friday, Friday, August the 24th, 2018, 15 minutes past the hour. Talk of the Town with Marge Hazelnut is on the air. Marge, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
It's good to see you, as always.
Well, good. It's nice to be here.
Absolutely.
It's nice to have Mary Ellen with us, too.
Yes, we have a very special guest today, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, how are you?
I'm just fine, Scott.
Mary Ellen, you are back on the tube lately. Governor's race here in Ohio?
Well, yes. If you watch closely, you'll see me in one of the commercials. I swore him in on one of his...
I've seen that
one.
Mm-hmm. Rich Cordray, how well do you know him?
Well, I know him really well. I've known him for a good 20 years, maybe longer. Yeah.
What kind of guy is he? Because there's all this talk about nice guy I always keep seeing.
He is a nice guy, and he's a guy that is so smart, he'll really bring Ohio where it should be. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Marge, what do you think about the race for governor this year?
I really haven't been following it very closely.
Well, we have our Attorney General, Mike DeWine, who's mm-hmm. also running. Mike DeWine's been in politics in Ohio for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of Mike DeWine, Mary Ellen?
Well, I think he's a little on the vicious side, if you want my opinion, after observing him for many, many years. And I've known him for at least 20 or more years, too.
Are they good to have a conversation with? Are they sociable people?
Oh, yeah, he's fine to have a conversation with, but I don't think he has the support of the things that I believe in at all. So, I mean, Richard Cordray does. I'm very supportive of Richard Cordray because of the things he stands for.
As we head into November, a couple months away, how do you feel things look for Democrats in general?
I think they're going to do well. And if you keep watching the news, I think they're going to do better and better. Yeah.
It's interesting. Have you ever... the governor's race, honestly, has seemed kind of quiet to me so far.
Yeah. It isn't very noisy yet. And it's a good thing. This is August.
Yeah.
We don't want it to be too much until, I think, after Labor Day, things get serious.
Do you think that whole Boulderson-O'Connor thing kind of took precedent over the summer?
Yes. It was very interesting. That was a fascinating race, and O'Connor did well, I thought.
It was very interesting because that's Pat Tiberi's old seat,
yeah,
which is a very Republican seat.
Right.
And it's still too close to call.
Yes. Well, O'Connor is a fighter, and he doesn't give up.
It'll be very interesting to see what happens in November. Do you think O'Connor can pull it off in November?
I do. because there are so many. They're all the representatives are running, and they're not going to be able to help Balderson like they did in this race. He's going to have to shift for himself, I think. And I don't think he's the campaigner that O'Connor is at all.
Marge, what do you make of campaigns in general? Do you think they've gotten vicious? I keep hearing this. They're more vicious than they used to be.
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah.
I really don't know, you know, when you talk about people being vicious, whether it's a motivated viciousness or if it's something that I don't know quite how to express myself on it, but it seems to me that there's a lot of vicious people out there.
Mary Ellen, when you were running, was it like this? Was it this bad?
Well, it wasn't divided like it is now, but it was bad. I mean, you had a lot of really things to deal with all the time. You had to correct everything right away. And, well, when I say that I think Mike DeWine is vicious, it's the way he's run his campaigns that makes me say that. It's, I think he will do anything to win, really.
The other day I was reminded of something. When you, I think you weren't Treasurer of the United States too long, you went on and did an interview with Connie Chung, wasn't it?
Yes, I did.
Eye to eye with Connie Chung.
Yeah. Do you have that?
You know, I might. I was going to look for that.
Oh, you know, if you had that, I'd be so excited to...
I was trying to remember, what did she have you on for? What was it, a profile?
What?
Was it just a profile?
I think so. I can't remember, but I remember, you know, how upset I was when Barbara Bush said that about her. Wasn't that the situation? And
yeah.
And that's the reason I kind of remember Connie Chung. Isn't it strange why you remember certain things and certain mm-hmm. things you don't? And there's a big reason for that, you know.
when you were, at that point, you were out just national treasurer, maybe 6 months at that point. What was it like to go on a national broadcast like that? Was it nerve-wracking at all?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you were, well, you know, what you had to deal with, they were always asking you questions that should go to the secretary, not to the treasurer. And my staff, my gal Friday, would always be close by, you know, trying to help me out if I got a question that I shouldn't be answering, because you certainly don't want to answer a question for the secretary when you're in that position. So, yes, I remember that really well. And when you're new, you know, everything, you're still learning, and you get something all of a sudden, and you really don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have been, during this election cycle, because there's a lot of talk about women all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking there's more women running than ever before. Women mm-hmm. are going to, you know, and that's good. You know, people, mm-hmm. whoever wants to run should be able to run. But I keep thinking, this doesn't seem revolutionary to me.
No.
Mary Ellen started in 1969.
Yes. Well, in I think it was 1994. That was supposed to be the year of the woman. It was one of the years when I was involved. I didn't run in 94, but I was appointed U.S. Treasurer in 94. And I remember, it might have been even 92 when they were talking that, because I was on the stage a lot in different situations, you know.
Did people send you out to these places, or were you able to pick and choose who you wanted to go?
Well, you could pick and choose. A lot of it was because, well, I was really very prominent in the Treasurers Association, which got my, they got the attention that I was very involved in everything, and I was asked probably as much as anybody. Yeah.
Marge, when Mary Ellen was having her ascent to the National Treasurer, I remember all the newspaper articles at the time. What a great thing that was for Marion.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
And
the fact that she was an educator put a feather in our cap, too.
Well, and also being a part of just, there was never anything bad.
No.
You had no skeletons, Mary Ellen. There was nothing that ever came back. We've got the one other politician who came from Marion who went to the national scale, Harding, but he had some skeletons in his closet, to say the least. There seemed to be nothing that happened.
That's good. That's really good. That's really good.
Yeah. Did people in those days try to dig up things on the other candidate?
Oh, yes. That was your main objective, is to find out what you could get on the other person. Yeah.
In the election of 2000, because I've been thinking about that a lot lately, because we seem to have some doubt about the last election and what the results were, and we did that in 2000 as well.
Yeah.
When all that was going on, you were in office, didn't know if you would stay or go.
That's right.
Where were you election night when Florida went one way, the other way?
I was at home.
At home?
Yeah. And then, you know, when they said that Florida went for Gore, I was all excited. I thought, oh, good, you know, this is it. And then everything went south after that.
Where were you when you heard the news that Al Gore was not going to challenge the Supreme Court decision in Florida?
Well, I was, let's see, I'm trying to remember. I had just sent him a note that said, hang in there. And then he drops out. I think I was at somebody else's house, a friend of mine, Helena Sims, who had been very involved in the Association for Auditors, Comptrollers, and Treasurers. She was one of the people that was in the staff, and I was over at her house, I think, when I heard that.
That has to be rough.
Yeah, and it was really rough because I had to get everything out by the 19th. I couldn't get a truck to take my stuff until the next, I think it was, would have been the next day or so, and the Secret Service said they'd watch my things. And then I went back to double check everything, and I found some more things that I didn't know were still there. You know, I was there 7 years, and you kind of get a collection around yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do want to remind people that Mary Ellen does have a museum here in Marion.
Yes, yeah.
It's out at Primrose. Mm-hmm. Just call beforehand and set up an appointment, and it's a great place to go. And to have Mary Ellen, if she's available, take you through is a great thing because she knows the story.
You know, I'm going to have it open from 4 to 6 today.
Oh, today?
Yeah. Well, they're having this open house at Primrose, and I said, well, I'll have my museum open too. And so if anybody wanted to come out between 4 and 6 today, they could go through. I'd take them through.
I was there Christmas Eve, and we had a great time. Let people know what's in the museum.
Well, I've got a lot of memorabilia from when I was U.S. Treasurer, probably more of that part of my life than any other. I also, in the last few years, I've collected these Christmas ornaments they represent the presidents. They started in 1981 with Washington, and each year they come out with a president in the order that they were president. And I got Truman just the other day. We had the FDR last year, and this year it's Truman. They did the Truman balcony, and on one side, and then on the back, they've got the blue room. And, oh, they're beautiful ornaments. And then I've got a $20 bill I gave John Glenn, and he took it up in space and had all the astronauts sign a certificate that it had been up there.
Well, we should mention that'll be 2 to 4 today, Friday, August the 24th, and it's at Primrose, which if you know where the YMCA is, just head down that road, go around the curve, and you will see it. And it's really something to see. It's a very interesting piece of history in Marion County. I do want to remember to say this, that tonight we will be broadcasting the Harding home game of the season, opener, starting at 7 p.m., and that's supported by the committee to elect Tara Dyer County Commissioner.
Okay.
So yes. Tonight, listen to the football game, the first Harding football game. We'll be on the air at 7.
I wish her all the luck in the world.
Yes.
Yeah, she was a student of yours.
Yes, she
was. Oh, how interesting.
Yes, my students are doing quite well.
Well, good.
Thank goodness. And no, you've endorsed her, Mary Ellen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, I believe there have been other county commissioners, a female, but I don't think there have been any African-American county commissioners that I can remember.
No, but the other county commissioner that was there for a while, and she was a good friend. Right now, I can't say her name. She's not living anymore.
No, I know who you're talking about.
She was she and Brenda Donegan came to my swearing in.
Oh.
Yeah, and it wasn't Grace somebody, no? I can't think of her name, yeah.
But, so that'll be interesting because if this blue wave does happen, I think that'll trickle down to the local candidates, I would imagine.
Yes, and you know what's so interesting? Women are the caretakers, we cooperate, we know how to cooperate, we know how to coordinate, and women are different in public office than men. You really notice that when you work with them and experience. I worked with some wonderful women in office when I was there, and they all did a terrific job. They put their whole heart and soul into it. Mm-hmm. So many times men are doing this on the side. And I remember when I ran against Jeff Jacobs, and he had other interests. He was interested in the Cleveland Indians, and I said, you know, I give this 100% of my time, and I think that's very important when you're in a job like this. You don't use it as a sideline to take care of the extra hours in your life.
Absolutely. I think we have a call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, Mary Ellen said 4 to 6, and you said 2 to 4. What are the hours tonight at Primrose?
What, the hours tonight at
4 to 6.
4 to 6. I said 2 to 4?
Yeah.
Oh, don't listen to me.
I didn't even catch that.
No. I didn't either.
Four to six, and you should really go out. Take the family. It's a really tremendous thing.
Will do. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you're going to have visitors tonight.
Well, good. I always like to have people come. I had a big crowd the other night. We had the hog roast, and I had a big crowd in there. I had it open from 6 to 7, and a lot of people came in.
If I don't screw up the time, it'll be a good turnout tonight.
Yeah, isn't that weird? We didn't even
So it's 4 to 6.
Yeah, 4 to 6.
4 to 6 tonight.
It's when Primrose is having this open house for people, but anybody can come to my museum, you know.
And your desk is in there.
Well, no.
No, it isn't anymore?
No, that's another story.
Uh-oh. See, I spoke out of turn again before knowing what's going on.
There was a desk, and my husband thought it was so beautiful that he wanted it.
Oh, okay.
So I let him have it to work with it. And so I'm using a table in place of it. And I sort of think I made a mistake there. By
Well, if Norm wanted it, he should have it.
Yeah.
Is there anything you've added to the museum since I was there in December last year?
Well, of course, I mentioned Truman's decoration. And I brought, somebody brought me a bumper sticker that I had given out when I was running for clerk of courts, and the thing's in bad shape, but it's in there. And those were really bad because people couldn't get them off their bumpers after the election. They had that kind of sticky that you couldn't get them off.
You know, there's a truck that parks out here every so often. I don't know who, but it's got a Strickland bumper sticker on it. And I keep thinking, well, they must not have been able to
get that off.
That's been a while ago. I the governor's always good to me, so I like seeing his name out there, but...
Well, I still carry his bags. It's got his name is real big on his bags, you know. I carry those all the time. I don't care. I really like Ted Strickland.
He, you know, I was lucky enough to meet Governor Gilligan and Governor Celeste and Governor Strickland.
Yeah.
I don't know where Governor Taft went. He has kind of disappeared. Is he even in the state anymore?
I don't know, but of course he had that coin situation. But yeah, Governor Gilligan gave me my job at the License Bureau, and of course Celeste. I was in office with Celeste, and who was the other one? Oh, Strickland.
Strickland.
Yeah. Strickland was in the House when I was in office. Yeah.
I'll never forget Governor Gilligan because he came up and did one of our exchange programs where we do the discussion of current events. And Governor Gilligan came up. He was living, I think, in the Cincinnati area. And we used to do a trivia question on that show. And we would ask the panel members what the answer was. And that that particular episode that Governor Gilligan was on, the trivia question was something like, there was a special named for a stuffed pig. Was they call it something. And I went around and got everybody's answer, and I went to Governor Gilligan, and I said, what's your guess? What's the name for the stuffed pig? And he said, Republican. And they laughed. Oh, my goodness, did they laugh.
Well, you know, he came up for a Democratic meeting to speak to us when I was running for, I think, for clerk of courts. And I had a painting of African violets that he auctioned off while he was here. And, it was a kind of a unique event.
Yeah. Well, I just remember Governor Strickland. He is so, much like Governor Gilligan, so personable, easy to deal with, and just an ordinary guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever, he's Methodist minister, started out as a Methodist minister. He's got an interesting background in politics.
Yeah, I went to see his daughter last year when she came to Columbus, and she gave a wonderful speech. You know, she was... Governor of was it Oklahoma? Anyway, she was in charge of the Obamacare situation, you know, and which was, I imagine, pretty rough.
Yeah,
because that was hard to get going, you know.
Marge, you spent so many years as a nurse. What do you make of the healthcare industry?
I'm almost afraid to say.
Loaded question at this point.
Oh, my.
Is it different than when you were a nurse?
Oh, my, my, my. There was no, when I was a student nurse, if you made a mistake, you were packed and out. There was no,
really,
you had to be on the toes every minute, and you better be awake.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of what they're going to do at the hospital here? Adding three floors, and everybody's going to have a private room, and oh, really? Oh yeah.
I haven't heard all that.
Yeah, I heard that in the news the other day.
Really?
Yeah, they're going to try to convert all of the double rooms to single rooms, and they're going to add three floors to the building. A lot of money involved there.
Boy, you're not kidding. We better get some good help.
Yeah.
My father was on the original board that built the hospital.
I know the city owns the land, but does the hospital own the building?
I don't know, but that reminds me of the Columbus Zoo because that's got that kind of a situation we own the animals, and I don't know, it's all divided up.
Well, that came up the other day when that story ran, and I thought, well, they have to own the building, or how else could they be adding three stories to it?
Yeah, I don't know that.
It's interesting.
Yes, it is.
But boy, to have your own room, now that's important.
Yeah. Well, that's really necessary.
Yeah.
When we were in Bethesda, the Holy Cross, the hospital we were in there, they were in the process of doing that, and I thought, oh, that's great, you know.
You know, I really have to commend Mary in general.
Yes.
Because I've been in, and not to say anything bad about any of the outlying cities or so on and so forth, but we have a really great hospital. We have a helipad on the roof. They're going to private rooms. They can do most surgeries here, or at least stop the process mm-hmm. of whatever you're going through to fly you to Columbus. You know, other cities don't have that. I think people should realize that not every place is like that. Yeah. And when you're in between life and death, that's an important thing.
It's very important. Mm.
You know, Marge, in your day when you started as a nurse, did you ever think you'd see the day where they were flying sick people in helicopters around?
Never really took time to think about it, but it certainly has been an asset.
Absolutely.
It's been wonderful.
It's come around. Certainly.
I don't know. I worked in a very, very strict hospital, and they were, when you came in there, you came in for one thing. You were going to be the best you could be. And you didn't forget that for one moment. And when they asked you to stay over, you hadn't better say no. Mm. You stayed over whether you wanted to or not. I got to the point I just said, I'll do it because I like doing it and I wanted to be a part of the team and have wonderful people to work with.
Now, I do want to let people know it's 41 minutes past the hour. The Exchange Club will start at 10 after 12, and Charlie Evers will join us. So if you're wondering why I haven't asked Mary Ellen anything about what's going on in the news yet, we'll save that for the 12 o'clock hour. And there's a lot going on, Mary Ellen.
Is there?
Oh! we'll talk at 12.
Okay.
A lot of interesting stuff going on this. Just without giving it away, have you ever seen a week like this past week?
You know, it was exciting. It reminded me, of course, when I was a lot younger watching Nixon's situation. I couldn't leave the television.
Me either.
Yeah, I couldn't leave.
So once we get Charlie in here, we'll go through everything that happened in the past week at 12:10. So we will save that. But don't forget, Mary Ellen's Museum will be open today 4 to 6 at Primrose here in Marion, and that's very interesting. Did you keep scrapbooks, Mary Ellen, of things, newspaper articles written about you?
Yeah, I did a long time ago, but then my staff did that, so they were doing it when I was in office in all the offices. I didn't have anybody doing it when I was county treasurer, but when I was state treasurer, everybody was doing that, and also when I was U.S. treasurer. It seemed like wherever I went, it's in a notebook on my table in my museum.
Who were you most excited to meet?
Well, I was excited to meet the King of Norway.
The King of Norway.
Yes, and they told me he didn't want his picture taken, but he was a handsome guy. I don't know why he didn't want his picture taken. And when I got there, he had a dollar bill with my name on it and wanted me to sign it. And I thought, oh, we could get a picture of this. No, I didn't do that.
Didn't go.
No, but I was really excited to meet him because he grew up in the Roosevelt White House, you know, during the war.
Yeah.
And so he was very familiar with the United States. And then I met the president of Finland, and he was a good friend of Clinton's, and he had just taken off. He hadn't been in office very long. You meet a lot of wonderful people, you know.
When you would meet with these people, what did they want to talk about?
Well, I was trying to think. A lot of times they wanted to tell you about their country. And, you know, they would talk about the things they were proud of their country. And then they would talk about the United States, too. I remember Margaret Thatcher talked totally about me. I mean, she had done her homework, and she talked constantly, and it was all about me, and I was in awe of that.
That's,
you know, for somebody to go to that extent, and I'm not that important, you know, and she knew all about me, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
What an interesting thing that must have been.
Yeah, it was. It was in her office in London, and she took their children's and grandchildren's pictures off the mantle for us to take the picture, and the person with me was from the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. And he stood too far away when he took the picture, and so it's a little bit small. I said, "Come closer," and it's still rather small. But no, I really liked her. And she's short. She was shorter than me. I thought she was a tall woman, but she wasn't. Yeah.
During your time as U.S. Treasurer, we had a little friendlier relationship with Russia during that time. did you ever make any trips to Russia?
Yes, I did a very interesting trip. And then I was invited to go again, and I would have met Gorbachev, but I couldn't go. That was when I was president of the Treasurers Association. I sent Norman, and he took film of it, and it was they even visited where the rockets went up and showed him that, which I thought was rather interesting. But when I was there, we were traveling around a lot in different parts of Russia, and then we stayed at the University of Moscow, and it seemed to be, things weren't very clean, and I was in a room. The girl and I shared this bathroom. I never met her, but she was Russian, and she had cleaned up the bathroom for me, and she had put a picture of a Ford car on the door, and I thought, how does she know I drive a Ford?
Oh my gosh.
But and then when you walked in the university, it looked like 1930. The electricity was all on the wall right behind the receptionist. It was just very primitive. And water everywhere, like their sewer system wasn't working. I just didn't have a very good feeling. I felt like there was nobody in charge. There was cigarette butts everywhere, and things weren't clean, you know. And so...
Different.
Yeah, different.
What about, did you go to China?
Yes, I went to Shanghai, and every place is so interesting. I met the man that makes their money over there, that's in charge of the operation, and they like to do karaoke. And in the evenings, we were doing karaoke. There was no women in their group. And so the men would pretend they were singing opera, and they would pretend to be women, and it was really quite an interesting trip, you know.
So was that as U.S. Treasurer you were there?
Yes. Uh-huh.
They took you to karaoke.
Yes, they did karaoke. They loved doing that. That was their thing.
Now, did they do American songs?
Yes, they did. They did take me out to the ball game, I think, and I'm trying to remember what else they did. But then it was opera. It was their opera, and he was saying, "Woo!" And he was singing way up high.
it's funny because we see stories on the news, but to be there,
yeah,
whole different thing.
Well, the food was another thing. I said, I swear I ate a blackbird with the feathers on. it was, you had some really unusual things. He was deep fried.
Oh my! Well, yeah, I think it was Charlie's a friend of Charlie's was in China. I think it was China. And he brought back some of the food. Oh, dear Lord. Charlie loves all that stuff, but I couldn't stand it. It just has funny taste to it. It's just not...
Well, you were always happy when the watermelon was the last serving of any meal. You were always happy when the watermelon came out because, you know, you had to be polite and eat their food. And I did the best I could.
I bet.
I would have had a horrible time. I'd have probably come back starved to death.
Well, that's a tough thing to do when you go, because you never know what's going to happen, what they're going to put in front of you, what the rooms are going to be like.
I remember there was this great big fish. I mean, it was enormous. And, you know, they made a big presentation of everything. It was a little bit more than we do in this country. And, I can't remember how it tasted. It was probably pretty good, but it had the head and everything on it, you know. But
that's different.
Yeah.
Have you ever been nervous about meeting somebody?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have. I've been nervous a lot in my life.
Is there a name that comes to mind?
Well, yes. Every time I met the president, I was nervous. I'd say thank him for giving me this job.
President Clinton.
And I always was afraid he'd ask me something I didn't know the answer to. So I'd try to, you know, think ahead and try to figure out what he was going to talk to me about and what I was talking to him about. And, yes, I would get very nervous.
Now, how often would you go over to the White House?
Well, it wasn't always going to the White House. Sometimes I went to the White House, but sometimes I would see him in, not in his office, but in the East Room or some. There'd be some event where he would be there and come over and talk to me. And, yeah.
What did he like to talk about?
Well, he was very good to talk to. I mean, he was so friendly. You know, people that didn't like him would end up liking him because he was so likable.
That's what they all say.
Yes, right. And I don't know, he's getting such a bad rap with all this going on, you know. But that's what John Glenn said. He said, that's what people are going to remember. And we talked about it one day. He said it's a shame because he was a great president, and this is all they're going to remember. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you were there, what was Hillary like, the first lady?
Well, she was wonderful. I really liked Hillary, and she did a lot of things. She was in charge of the Sacagawea event that I was very involved in, where all the Indians came. Every tribe was represented. They had a ring of Indians beating the drums, and they had the chiefs dancing down the aisle, and it was a big event.
Just to clear this up, for somebody who's known her, you met her several times. Aside from her professional side, because we all these books about how horrible she is.
I don't know how they can write that stuff. I really don't.
What kind of human being would you describe her?
She was just a very friendly person, very easy to talk to, always very considerate. There's nothing bad about her. I don't know where they get this. I never could understand it.
You know, somebody you met who was always fascinating to me is the late Ann Richards.
Oh, yes.
Governor from
Texas. Yeah, right.
Was she as vivid as she seemed on television?
She was a riot. Yes, she was. She would have us laughing in the treasurer's meetings. And yes, she was quite a gal. Yeah.
The 92 convention where they nominated Clinton and Gore. Now, this is 2 years before you would take office. Were you at that convention?
Yes, I was there.
The atmosphere? Because that was the first time in 12 years that the Democrats really had a good shot.
Yes, that's right.
Was it a festive atmosphere that?
Oh, yes. I'm trying to bring it back into my mind, and it's yes, I was there. Yeah,
I remember the inaugural ball in January of 93. I just remember they were up there. Hillary and Bill and Tipper and Al were dancing. And coming off the Bushes and the Reagans, that was totally different. Totally different generation, totally different music. It was just a different feel.
Yes, and you know, Ohio put them over the top. And Gene Branstuhl was Democratic chairman here in Ohio. And they were going out on that bus trip after they were nominated. And they were going all over on the bus, and yeah, it was a fascinating time.
What did they call it? Straight Talk Express or something like that?
What was it?
They went around though.
Yeah.
Oh, both of them. And that time period, those 8 years that Clinton was president, there really was no big disaster. There was no big war. There was no big financial crisis that I remember. Didn't seem like a lot of, aside from Monica Lewinsky, that anything horrible was going on.
Well, they did have a finance situation where a bill was passed, and I think Al Gore gave the passing vote on it, on finance. That was how they credited the economy then after that. It was such a good economy during his administration. That's the reason I'm in the Guinness Book of Records that I have my signature on more currency than anyone in history, because of the economy that Bill Clinton had while he was in office.
Mm-hmm. And that's at the museum too, the certificate.
Yes, yes.
That's something to see. You know, Marge, I was just thinking, to get this in before we break here at noon, I wanted to ask you about this, being a psychologist all these years. Big story in the newspaper this week that the suicide rates in Marion have doubled in the last 4 years. Why do you think that is?
I don't know where to start with that, really, to tell you the truth, because so many things have happened that's come into Marion that never was here before.
Yeah.
I don't know where we went wrong with some of the things, because I always liked Marion. As a child, my grandfather spent a lot of time in politics over here, and I used to sit in the car and wait many, many hours, and you didn't get out of the car unless you really had to go. But I really enjoyed that, and it was a lot of fun to have grown up between Tiffin, Upper Sandusky, and Marion, and I have many pleasant memories.
Are people depressed? Is life too fast? I don't know what's going for.
I don't.
A double.
It's hard to pinpoint it, to tell you the truth.
People are short-tempered now. I know that. Did you find any of this? Did you read that headline in the paper, Mary Ellen?
No.
Well, yeah, I didn't see it either.
That the suicide rate in Marion County has doubled in the last 4 years. Hmm. I would think with more access to things, it would go down, but it's went up.
Hmm.
And I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
Would the opioid crisis have anything to do with it?
I think it could factor in, certainly. But I think people aren't communicating. People are always on the cell phones and on the internet, and they're not talking, and people don't feel wanted. And it's a weird thing. People go out to dinner and don't talk to each other.
Well, and the children sit, the parents sit, and play with their little phones. The little kids have their stuff, and they're tinkling away with it. I mean, no one seems to communicate at the tables. I don't know. Our family talked at the table. We had a talk period.
Mary Ellen, you were in office when the internet really came into prominence. How did that affect what you were doing?
Well, I had, internet in my office, and the nice thing about it, if I had anything go wrong, somebody would come up and fix it. I wish I had that person right now. But when I had the license bureau, we were we were on the internet too. Mm-hmm. And then when I was Marion County Treasurer, I brought in the system, and it's really developed, and it was very necessary in the things that I was working with. But I don't know. I think people that are on their phone all the time need to, you know, have some time off that phone. I've sat with people that I'm out to eat with, and that's all they're doing, and it's really rude.
Right, you know? I think so too.
Yeah.
You almost feel like getting up and saying, you're more entertained by what you're playing with, well then excuse me.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
I don't know what's brought that on in such a heavy way, but boy, it has. I don't, and if we don't learn to communicate, we're going to lose.
That's right. I love to talk to people. I think if you can get in a group, and even just with my family, when all my daughters are there and we talk, it's such an enjoyable situation. And I enjoy that probably as much as anything I do. You know.
Have any of your grandkids thought about getting into politics?
Well, I haven't heard anybody mention it, except my daughter said she was going to get into politics, my oldest daughter, and then hasn't done anything about it. She couldn't find anything she wanted to run for. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, run for township trustee. She said, oh, I don't think I want to do that. And I would agree. I mean, you know, my dad was a township trustee for years, and my brother was a township trustee. But anyway, my grandchildren, nobody has mentioned it, and I don't know if anybody ever will, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
We'll maybe talk more about that. We're going to take a break here. Charlie will join us, and then we'll talk about some of the week's events, too, and what a week it was. We'll be back with Mary Ellen Withrow, Charlie Evers, and Marge Hazlett in about 10 minutes.
Mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, yucky. But bad